Okay, okay. Hello, hello. This is JP. It is the 5th of December. Remember, remember. It's going to be probably one of the world's historic important dates from now on. The day that the cabal just kind of started to tear apart. I don't know. When's it going to? It's going to be like a headless monster, you know, growing new heads and you cut them off and then eventually it'll collapse and lay bleeding at our feet. Yeah, I'm really not wanting to talk too much about pizza, or Gates or anything like that. I'd much rather talk about people's, stuff, so, call in. It's tiring, you know, I've had a week of, 2 weeks of, you know, if you know that you've been talking about this stuff for 6 years, about the links between paedophilia and the governments and the institutions and all that. And, when it all finally comes out and people are sending you stuff and it can get a bit overwhelming, you know, it's meant to be overwhelming. It's meant to be something so horrific that people will retreat into their shells, and not come out until somebody says, it's all right, I've got you and it's all safe again. And that feels very much like this is when a Hitler character can step right in. So you have to be very, very careful what's going on. And, you know, not to, react or respond, not to react in an emotional way. And that's really hard because, emotions, dealing with anything to do with children, anything to do with animals, innocence is very emotive. It's really difficult to remain calm during something like that. And, you know, we've seen potentially a false flag, already with somebody, you know, shooting up a pizza bar. That all has the hallmark of false flags, which is pretty good, pretty quick response, but maybe they were expecting it. Who knows? More of the those playing cards being played out. So they haven't played out the alien invasion yet. Anybody know about all the cards? How much has been played out? You know what we're talking about, the Illuminati cards, that were released somewhere in the '70s. And how do they know? Who made that thing? Was it the plan? Has the plan been reduced to a bunch of playing cards? Is that how they put it around? Is that how they publicize these things? You know, we're finding out an awful lot of stuff now, really, aren't we? We're finding out about, certainly about the networks of, I'm going to talk about it now. The networks of child molestation that go on all throughout the established world. And coming to the kind of conclusion, yeah, we'll just have some tea. Nice cup of tea. Everything's normal again. All right, yeah. So that it's coming to a kind of the realization that is coming. It actually came yesterday when I was talking with Simon Parks on his show, and you know I just kind of blurted it out. So really, Simon, all of these things were all of the institutional places that we put our children are essentially honey traps for paedophile networks. And he said, yeah. And so that should worry everybody. That should make everybody really, I don't want people to react emotionally because there are too many. When I say innocent people, too many people who are implicated. Let me just say, you know, there are, I don't know what percentage, I couldn't guess what percentage of scoutmasters who are good, honest, decent people. how many bankers there are that are good, honest, decent people, how many doctors that are good, how many lawyers that are good, you know, the number, how many politicians that are good.
Yeah.
I think the percentage gets lower and lower and lower. But, it's a situation where all these places where you put your children are grooming those same children, yours and your children's friends, for these awful activities. And they go, you know, kids go missing. Stuff happens. Right, so, don't like to talk about it, but it's happening. You have to hear it, really. You have to take it on and be calm about it. Be measured and not make knee-jerk reactions. We need to make measured responses. So what's the first measured response that you might make? I don't know. Why didn't you call me up? Where's the number? I had the number on the middle of the scroll there. Call me up on 310-421-4053 or on Skype, Freedom Screen 2, or I've also got my 775-773-3431 in America and, 0141-356-4141. Look at that string of numbers. Wow. The brake was pulled, but the train did not stop. Yeah, so anyway, please come and talk to me about something else. Bring it, you know, let me read your rays. Let me look at your higher self. Let's look at, you know, something a little more, higher minded, and to pull us out of this. Unless you want to, you know, you want to discuss it. I'm very happy to discuss it. All right. If you don't call in, I'm going to talk about Pizzagates and all of the stuff that I've learned over the last 5 or 6 years, about the whole thing, about how it's all connected. There was a case in Aberdeen, which is just down the road from me. Not Homer Aberdeen, but Aberdeen, the town. In Bucksburn, Aberdeen. Just to bring it closer to a real place. That there was, what do you call them? Down syndrome child, who was essentially molested by her father and her brother. As this happens, TJ. TJ! Oh, you prank calling me, are you? Let's bring him back in. Hey. So, yes, that's a very nice little red fox you've got on your avatar there. Pick up the phone, TJ, come on. Pick it up. Yeah, I think he's just pranking me to take me off to yeah, stop me. TJ. Hey dude. Yeah. What's up?
Just trying to keep warm, smoking a cigarette outside.
All right. So you enjoying the discussion about Pizzagate, huh?
Not really, but it's been going on around for like thousands of years.
Yeah. So you've done a lot of research into Nephilim and things like that, haven't you?
Yeah, but I'm still basically amateur.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a big field. Hello, Wendy. Please stand by, okay?
Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah, and, you know, this is one of the things that, this is where it kind of all comes from, is that these giants used to like having sex with humans, and to them, a human is tiny. Like as a child to an adult. Do you think that's what it stems from, TJ?
I think part of it is, but I think a lot of these guys are basically descended from what was the giants at the one time.
Yeah, the bloodlines, what we call bloodlines these days, the descendants of the demigods who were like the half. I mean, these kids were the half-breeds who came from the Titans and these other very, very large beings.
Well, Josephus basically said the Raphim, which are the crossbreeds, were basically the Titans of the Greek legends.
The Raphaim.
Yeah, the dead ones.
Dead ones. That's interesting. Why were they called the dead ones?
Well, because they weren't meant to exist. The crossbreeding between the humans and the angels weren't meant to exist. So their spirits are condemned to roam around till Judgment Day.
Oh.
That's where the demons come from.
That's very interesting. So that's fascinating. You definitely earn a fascinating. Hang on.
Fascinating.
There we go. Definitely, that deserves a fact. So, tell us about there's the Raphaim and then the Nephilim. How do they relate to the Nephilim?
The Nephilim are the fallen angels.
And are they fallen because they had sex with women?
No. And no? Not all Nephilim are the ones that crossbred. Only about 200 called the Watchers.
The Watchers?
Yeah.
What's the difference between a Watcher and a fallen angel?
Well, all the Watchers are fallen angels. But not all the fallen angels are Watchers.
Ah. And the fallen angels that aren't Watchers, are they the really bad ones?
Yes.
So the Watchers are the ones who really were kind of caught up in it and didn't make any choice either way. Is that right?
Well, they crossbred with the humans.
The Watchers crossbred with the humans?
Yes.
Sorry, I don't know any of this, and I'm just trying to get it all square in my head. So there's the fallen angels, and then there's the Watchers.
The Watchers are a subgroup of the fallen angels.
Fallen angels. And then the Watchers had sex with humans.
Yes.
And
they're tied up, they're locked up until Judgment Day, basically.
So where are they?
Well, the Bible mentions four of the abysses in the Mesopotamia area. But I'm saying there was 200, that leaves 196 somewhere else.
Yeah. Are they just wandering around?
No, they're locked up, basically. And they also had to watch the first generation, Raphaim, kill each other off. They had to watch their children kill each other off.
So it's a pretty traumatic episode.
Yeah, but they brought it on themselves.
Because of these rather delightful little humans.
Well, they crossbred, I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that crossbreeding is more akin to rape than, and, you know, like we're saying, there's a huge size difference. So we're go ahead.
The Watchers, they could probably make themselves human form. They can shapeshift some. So size probably wasn't the problem. It's not the Watchers, basically, that are the giants. It's the descendants.
All right. So now we've got the Watchers, and the Watchers take their human wives.
Yeah.
Presumably they took their human wives from human husbands who might be a bit miffed about the whole thing.
Either that or there was enough women around. I don't know.
Or maybe the men were killed.
That's possible.
That's very likely, isn't it?
And it said that the Raphaim were so big that they basically devoured everything.
So they ate the planet out of house and home.
And the people, too.
And they had ate all the people. Right. So things have been worse. Yeah. So who has bound these Watchers?
God himself with Michael and the rest of them, according to the Book of Enoch.
And, all right, so if we now take it into a modern context, Michael, is Michael a Pleiadian? Is he an Andromedan? Is he an Arcturian? What's the deal? Do we have that kind of correspondence? Because there's a lot of Bible talk and there's a lot of ET talk, but they're talking about the same people, aren't they?
That I don't honestly know. And then I'll say I don't honestly know. We still connected?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm just letting it echo there for a little bit.
When I don't know something, I'll say I don't know.
Okay. So, well, let's bring Wendy into this conversation, because Wendy, have you got, do you have insights into this? Do you have any connection to this?
I don't have too much connection, but I was thinking about, like, the nursery rhymes. If you break down what the nursery rhymes were and take them with your higher self and ask them how you take that and reverse it too, so that way they don't have a way of capturing children. I was thinking in that terms, because that's something they made underneath certain things of what they did.
Give us an example.
I had one in thought until I started listening to the gentleman, and he really just kind of like erased everything. Here it is. Like, London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? The big bad wolf. All those things
mm-hmm.
were part of nursery rhymes that were used to help them keep their power and to locate and to find children. You know what I'm saying?
Keep going. How do you get to find the children?
When you sing these particular songs, they kept their establishment and their ways in power. In these rhymes, they have a certain way that they kept them in power. You know, like how they usually use the songs for the music and they turn them and they take the tape and move it backwards in order to keep the person encrypted spiritually onto whatever level they want them to be at for the public. So I'm thinking it's like that.
So it's got encoding.
It's got coding in it, yeah. You break the code, you get the answers of how you evolve it.
And have you broken the code?
Do we even know what the code is? It's an open conversation. But that gentleman that you had on there was really, he brought out a very significant point, which a lot of the Bible did speak of it, but they didn't go into extreme details of what is what, because a lot of it is still coded.
Yeah, well, it's a lot.
Who knows what is what?
Sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead. Who knows what?
I was saying the Vatican knows what is what on those aspects of that, because they use that.
Well, we were just talking about the Vatican, weren't we, on the on Sean's show about the end of the last pope. Mm-hmm. So it's probably all very relevant. So TJ.
Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah. You know, this is a big issue. You know, even what Wendy's talking about, what seems to be nursery rhymes. What's the thing about nursery rhymes? Yeah. They're nursery rhymes because they get these tunes into our head, these rhythms in our head.
Well, I do know that, with the Ring Around the Rosy, originally it was, about the Black Death.
Yeah, we all fall down.
Actually, the original thing was We All Fall Dead.
Oh.
They said a pocket full of posies, and they thought that it was caused by bad air, and that the smell of the posies would keep the Black Death away.
Yeah, sort of deodorant. People used to have these weird masks that looked like dog faces, so yeah, that they would put the posy of the things in their nose, so that they would breathe through the posy. Yeah, exactly. So yes, the Great Plague of London. 1665. I remember it well. Just five to 5 o'clock. But so yeah, so there's our encoding.
Mm-hmm.
Parts of it anyway.
Mm. So add more pieces, please, brothers and sisters. Let's have some, you know, get some real discussion going on what we've So. Wendy, tell us a bit more about what you're calling in to talk about, and then how that weaves into what's going on.
Well, what I was saying is that everything so far that they have done was done underneath a coding system. Everything. This planet is nothing but a coding system for good, and if you choose to use it for bad. You know what the codes are, you break the system.
Does the system need to be broken? I suppose the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need a system? Or can we just be? Is a system, do we need a system is the question next, isn't it?
We need a system that overrides what they have done. One that obsoletes it all the way out. Now we use the vibration of love. Love they can't handle. But at the same token, it has to be put on such a high wavelength of a vibration that they can't even hold on to whatever it is that they're doing. That's the only thing that can break their system, and that's another code.
Well, we know that they blackmail and they hijack. They hijack our love by using blackmail. You know, we will kill your children, you know, that sort of thing. We will eat your children. It's something that these watchers, you know, let's get the real names of these people, these beings. TJ, there's been societies all through history who have studied these people, right?
Yeah, but a lot of it just, covered over because they don't want to think that humans and the bad angels could crossbreed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. There's one group that says that the Bene Elohim or the Nephilim were mm-hmm. actually the sons of Cain, sons of Seth and the daughters of Cain.
But isn't that the same thing for when you have when you have the ones that come in from off the ship, certain aliens who come off from off the ship and come and mate with the women down here who's part of their race, isn't it the same thing?
No, because the angels would be basically a different species.
Oh, so it's not considered to be like, well, Simon doesn't like to use the word hybrid, but I don't know any other word you can call the situation, but they are not considered to be that.
No, because like, whether white people from Europe going down to Africa, both the Africans and the Europeans are both humans.
Oh, okay. So you're saying this is another aspect of a different type of alien that's existing outside of human form.
Basically. Watch out, I gotta let
you know. Wow. Very interesting.
So how does that change your perspective there, Wendy?
Changes it a lot because then you don't know who to ask to get the answers from because you're dealing from outside of the realm of, you're dealing from outside of the realm of the galactic force, I guess.
Well, here's the thing. Who should we be listening to anyway? Anyone outside of ourselves? Or no one outside of ourselves? Yeah, you have to listen to your own.
You have to listen to your higher self.
Exactly.
On the situation.
Only. It's your only arbiter. Nobody outside of you, not me, not Simon, not Alex Collier, not anybody, is the arbiter of what is true. Only okay. You.
The first thing I always say is check it for yourselves. I might be mistaken.
Hmm.
I won't lie, but I might be. Mm-hmm. Oopsie daisy, you know. I could be wrong, but I'm saying I'm not lying.
Well.
Yeah, you give me your best information. This is, you know, we all have our best information. We're not here to mislead. I'm certainly not here to mislead anybody. You know, the show is called Journeys. It's my journey of discovery. You know, the stuff that TJ is talking about, I don't know about all this. You know, that's his shtick.
I don't really know it that well either. I looked at it in the Bible and I overlooked it because it didn't really resonate, you know, to make that much of a great deal of sense because it doesn't, you know that it exists, but it just goes to the far, far extreme of how, you know, of how I know things exist in the world that I'm in. It just goes to the far left, way, way far to the extreme.
Because it goes too far back for people to be able to confirm it, for a start. Go ahead.
Well, the biggest problem, too, is the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jasher, and the Book of Jubilees are not in the current Bible, but they have been in the past. The Book of Enoch's been in the Bible 4 times. Book of Jubilees has been in the Bible about 6 times. And the Book of Jasher's been in the book, in the Bible at least 3 times. And they just took it back out.
Yeah, it must have been for a reason.
That's because most of the leaders are politics anyway.
Well, it tells too much of the truth. You know, it tells the history, which is the important thing. If we don't know history, we're doomed to repeat it. So it's best to find out what happened before and to see if there is actually a precedent for what is happening now. You know, and we can look at the fall of Rome.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, but you are correct in one way in what you're saying. And, you know, if you don't learn from the history, you repeat it. So, you know, the streaking of the sky, still wanting to not have the soils correct for man to live and all those things, you know. It's no way humanly possible you could be a human to do this to everybody and stay safe, okay. You can't be human to do that. To have no compassion for somebody else of that magnitude.
The only people who have that lack of compassion is people who are suffering from an extreme form of PTSD or psychopathy. But the thing is that there are so many people on this planet who are suffering from some form of PTSD or other that it's possible, like it happened in Germany in the 1940s and 30s, that people can easily be turned to do harm and damage to another brother. I mean, look at what people are doing with this, what's that game called? GTA? Grand Theft Auto. You know? Very soon we'll start getting Grand Theft Auto type, you know, if we don't already have it, you know, killing sprees where people, you know, it's just like the video game.
That's not good.
Well, no, it's not good, but it's a potential. That's because that potential has been fed into our reality. Yeah.
Wow.
And
somebody has the book on how to do things a lot more than what we're doing, but still gonna hold on to that divine light and that higher vibration for everything.
Well, yeah, this is the thing. So we have to be not so in the doom and gloom of things, and into a place of we're able to build, right? I don't know if you've ever manifested anything, but if you get the attitudes right, and that's all it is, it's about getting your attitudes right, then your entire life becomes a blessed manifestation situation. But if you walk around, and what I say is the feelings of today is your experience of tomorrow.
True.
So
very true.
If we're now walking around, see, this is how we're infected by this stuff. You know, we're all walking around all gloomy, all Pizzagate. Look at this. And will they ever be caught?
No.
And is Hillary being able to kick the can down the road? When's Hillary going to be arrested? You know, this whole thing.
Don't worry. Her generational line gets affected.
Yeah.
She's already affected her whole entire generation line to the core.
Yeah.
So it's not just a Hillary. It's her whole bloodline.
TJ.
And that's the part people forget, that it's a whole, you know, it like they say, it takes one bad apple to spoil the whole bunch.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, she's just another apple in the rotten tree. You know, the whole branch is rotten. The whole tree is gone to, actually, there is something about this, is that there is, on the highest psychic, on the highest spiritual levels, everything is a part of an enormous tree. And that one of the branches is rotten and it's having to be cut off. Yeah.
Yeah.
So TJ.
Yeah.
What's your, that's only thing. Could you get more details on that, on the tree thing?
Well, sounds about right to me, because one of the branches are so-called angels. I don't call them all angels. But one branch of the angels basically gave everything up in rebellion. The third or whatever.
Keep going. So who was this? When did this happen?
Well, it happened probably between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. Because the Bible in the original Hebrew says the world became without form and became void. So there was something here before, and God restarted, basically.
And then? So here we are, having to deal with all these. I mean, basically, what it feels like, we're a bit, I lived in the 1980s in a place in London, which is, it was like what you call a slum. And, the estate was known by the local authority in these couch terms of known as a sink estate, which is basically where they, and get this word, they decant the residue. This is what they talk about putting poor people into buildings. And this was the estate that I used to live in. And it really feels like the whole earth is something like that. It's, you know, the residue has been decanted here to earth. And we're here to, you know, be part of the stones against which they grind up.
I don't know. I don't think about it in that depth, because they always say you have to hold the vision for a brighter day. If we don't hold that vision for a brighter day and ask for that, and keep asking for that vision to come through, for it to be so, it will not be so, because this is the starting of everything all over again.
Okay, so, you know? So Wendy, so here's the thing, right? You hold the vision, but if somebody's, you know, if you're on a downer, somebody's on a downer around you, you can't just hold the vision in denial. You can't say, well, I reject that and I'm holding my vision, because it's all part of reality. And
but
so
you also have the time to manifest. You're in the position to re-manifest what you want and how you want it to the fullest detail. That's where we are at the beginning of the gates already. You have enough people on board to manifest, to bring about what you really, really want at the beginning of these gates, because you have to hold position to pull it all the way through. We're to slide through this fourth and go into the fifth. And that's all part of this, sliding through.
Yeah. Now, as somebody said, Saffron says, we're the cleanup crew after the long old game. And, you know, I think I'm in agreement. There's a lot of karma that is flying around, and karma is basically shit that hasn't been cleaned up, to use a, you know, to use a very crude way of putting it, but that's basically what it is, you know, and it just keeps going, you know, and so, my recommendation is harmlessness, which creates less karma. That's what harmlessness basically means, that you're not creating any extra karma. You're like a zero karmic footprint. So,
true.
That's the aim, because, you know, our karmic footprint just keeps plodding on. You have no idea what goes under your feet.
Right about
especially
that.
If you're angry. You know, you're angry, you're not even looking. You can look at the little plants, the insects and things like that as you're stomping along the street, grinding them into the dirt. You know, what do you care? You're angry. And that takes precedence over everything else in this world. We'd call that selfish, wouldn't we? We saw that from the outside. So, there's karma for you. That's how karma works, you know, it's the things that we do unconsciously, unmindfully, mindlessly.
Mm-hmm. But then again, there's everything on this planet, in this planet, above the planet, everything within the galaxy from here to wherever, everything is alive and wants to live. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the means that they wish to take, they don't mind taking it as long as they get to live. 800 light years of tyranny happened above our, happened in the future. And so many have come back from the future to help within this particular time frame.
Yeah, what a harebrained scheme that was.
Mm-hmm.
What a harebrained scheme that was. I can speak personally from that.
Well,
what an idea. Who came up with that one? Oh, it's probably me.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying. You know, they say that we're here to help you, but we're not here to do the work for you. But they always say, you ask for what you want to see it come about. These particular aspects of detail of what we're looking for to get cleaned up, some of it is above my head, out of my hands. But if I ask for the divine intervention to step in and take hold of what is beyond me, I'm looking for divine intervention to come and do what? Take hold of it and handle it better than me. So that way, I'm not putting anger, no type of venom towards the situation to make it grow more. But I'm letting divine intervention come in at a neutral point and handle it. And it will be handled a lot better than I thought.
Well, very noble. It's good to have good intentions, isn't it?
That's the only thing that could hold us. It's the intent that we have now at this present time is the most important thing to keep all of us in a positive place. The intent. You know, everything that you know, may have a very hard and soft and a very unbelievable part in these things that are going on. But it also has to teach us the lesson of what was done before must not be done anymore. Because then you never solve the situation.
Well, these are the lessons.
Keep it growing.
These are the lessons that, you know, humans have to learn. And
not only us, also the other beings who have protected and guided us along the way on this particular spectrum of doing things. They are learning from us because we are also part of them. But as much as they're learning from us, they have to understand one for all and all for one. We stand together. We have to stand together. 800 light years of tyranny in the future, things did not go well. Does it have to be that way?
No, it's not, and it's not going to happen. I mean, we're already, you know, well on to making that that potential, not
making
a potential.
Good. So therefore, we'll put out the fact that we want divine intervention to step in of all forces of the higher.
Wendy, here, sweetheart. Sweetheart, we are the divine intention. We are the divine intervention. That's you and me. We are the divine people who are here on this planet to intervene. We're not waiting for divine intervention. We are the divine intervention. Do you see that? See what I'm saying?
Okay, I agree there. I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? You know, we are forever throwing it out and saying, oh, the boss is coming. Wait till your father gets home. Well, I'm now the father. I'm now father. You're now mother. You know, and you know, if suddenly you decide you somebody gave you the badge, right? Okay. You're the sheriff of America, right? And you're going over to this place and going, hell no, and you know all that stuff. What happens if wouldn't that be great? You wouldn't be able to deal with it all. You'd have to find a team. You'd have to find lots of good people.
Of course.
Yeah. So, why not think that way? And then look for the rest of your team.
Okay. That's a very good way to look at it, and that's the only way we can look at it, as from what you're saying.
So, TJ.
I'll post the links to those books that I was talking about.
Oh,
the Book of Enoch and the Book of Jasher.
Oh, yes. It's easy to find them, actually. You can, I wanted to read the Book of Enoch a few years ago, and I just Googled Book of Enoch, and there are many people who have typed them up, and what's the thing they do? Concordanced and indexed and the whole bit.
This one, the ones I get the links for are basically just text form. No fancy concordance or whatever, but the Strong's Concordance is a good tool to use for the Bible.
What's that?
The Strong's Concordance.
Strong's, oh yes.
You can go back to the original Hebrew or Aramaic or Chaldean and actually see what the words say.
Get the, so what does Rafi and Nephil mean in the Hebrew?
Nephil means cast out.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I'm saying the Nephilim
are the ones who were cast out. Yeah. Okay.
Huh. The Raphim were the dead ones. Because they're basically more or less prejudged because they weren't meant to exist.
It's one of these, well, you shouldn't have done it in the first place kind of situations. Well, it's done. Can you just stop complaining about them? And, you know, they may be useful people. You know, they may have a perfect place. And all these people who are like, oh, they're abomination towards the Lord because they're judging for the Lord. Maybe the Lord doesn't mind.
Well, maybe the real... The Book of Enoch said that they were condemned to wander the earth in spirit form until judgment day.
Well, that'll be yesterday.
Jesus said he don't know the day, but he said that we will know the season.
Uh-huh. And the season is signified by certain signs, he said, yeah, alliteratively.
Like a non-Christian might not know the exact day Christmas is, but they know it's in the wintertime sometime.
Uh-huh.
So we won't know the exact day, but we'll know the season.
And does the season feel right just now?
I think we're in it within probably the next 100 years, probably.
I was hoping it'll be a lot sooner than that.
Well, I'm talking probably maximum.
Mm-hmm. You're hedging your bets. But, it's like, it really doesn't matter when. Because what we have to understand is that we are the microcosm of it all. To make it happen earlier or to make it happen later is dependent on how each and every one of us deals with our own inner version of this outer tyranny. How much of our mind, how much of our life is governed by our head and what the head believes, and how much of it is connected with our body, and is it representative? So, for instance, your body is 90% of you. So do you spend 90% of your time taking care of your body? No, you don't.
A lot of that's instinct anyway. The body stuff. You're hungry, you eat. You breathe, I'm saying it's whatever, I'm saying it's natural.
Mm. Well, it's natural, but how many people know exactly what nutrients their body wants them to eat? Until the body says, oh, I really need some magnesium. Can you go and eat that banana? Or no, it's potassium. That sort of thing.
I think a lot of that might be like with, if you got a craving for like a banana, you might be low on potassium. Your body knows bananas have them.
Mm. Yeah.
You might not know it in your brain, but your body craves it because it knows it.
Got all right. It. Okay. So here is my case in point. Here is my point there. Exactly, TJ. Your body knows. But how many of us listen to what our bodies tell us?
That I'm not too sure of.
You see, now, this is, follow me on this point, right? So, if we're the microcosm, and 10% of us, our brains, are ruling, the 90% of us, our bodies, in the same way of 10% of our society is ruling and in domination of 90% of the society. And, you know, 10% of the brain is ruled by some tiny part that is the, you know, the bit that's taken over, the bit that's taken over. Do you see my point? Is that this is a whole, this is exactly like how society is how we are. So to change society, we have to change the relationship between us and ourselves.
Yeah, but like I said, though, there's other entities that are messing with us.
That's the thing.
Yeah, give us wrong information or whatever.
Yeah, misinformation and disinformation. And there's a lot of people who are shouting and screaming and pointing fingers when actually they're the ones who have been, who are the perpetrators.
Yeah, like CNN calling all the other news outlets fake news.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So here's the thing, and you know, I'm also looking at the chat room here in Wallspirit and Rev Radio, in, even though there aren't many people in Rev Radio. Put up your hands if you're listening in Rev Radio, guys, gals. Let's hear. But we've, you know, where did that big blue line come across my screen for? Oh, look at that. Ah, anyway. I just want to say, you know, there's, Pleiadian sister saying, need to activate the DNA. You know, is there a condition here where we can say, all right, the brain is completely awry. We need to, you know, we need to have a regime change in our brain. We need to take all the programs out and reprogram it with new open source programming that is compassionate. Basically reboot the entire society operating system into an Ubuntu society.
Possibly, but I'm saying, like I say, I can't do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. Palladian sister has to do it for herself, and whoever else needs to do it for themselves. Nobody else can do it for us.
We all have to do the work.
Yeah.
And the work is essentially to de-trigger ourselves, to deprogram ourselves from all of these programs, and we don't even know that they're programs in the first place. We just think that that's reality.
We got to check everything out for ourselves.
Yeah. And here's, you know, here's a few simple ones if you're wondering what I'm talking about. The ideas of, these, you know, old wives' tales, they're programs. You know, if you go into, you know, if you go out with your wet hair in the cold, you're going to catch a cold. Well, maybe.
Well, actually, most people don't know there is one place on Earth you can't even catch a cold.
Where's that?
Antarctica.
How's that?
It's because it's too cold for the cold virus to exist outside the human body there.
Ah. So there you go. If you want to avoid colds.
Unless somebody brings it in.
Mm. Well, there you go. So that makes them all very, very vulnerable. Just need one of those CIA light bulbs. So yes, lactose intolerant. Yeah. Well, yes. So indeed, the star meditation is another thing, is another recommendation, because when you focus on the star, all right, you're right. TJ, yeah. mute your mic if you're going to cough. People don't like it. Okay, thank you. So the star meditation is something that was given to us by Audrey from Oi. What? Trying to do a show here. There was
I'm listening. Go ahead.
TJ. The star meditation was given to us, right? By Audrey, which is basically, it's really, really simple. Imagine a star just like the, you know, like a star like the sun, not a, not a five-pointed star or something like that, but a star, like, you know, I was going to say Jupiter, no, mm-hmm. like, Alpha Centauri or, you know, Sirius or something mm-hmm. like that. Imagine a star at the center of your heart, near your heart center. Mm-hmm. And what you do is it starts out really, really tiny, little, you know, mm-hmm. little spark in the world, in the darkness, and then you grow it. And you grow it into mm-hmm. a big, a, as big a star as you can.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And that's all you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that will replenish okay. you. That will revitalize you. Because it reestablishes your center in the heart, doesn't it? So you're focusing on everything in your center in the heart, not in your head.
Mm-hmm. I was just, I wanted to find out, since you're on that subject, how come they didn't take the easiest route instead of just having to do that, instead of taking somebody's light? I mean, go think of going back to source meditatively and bring that light back down. So easy. Instead of doing so much harm. I don't get it.
You mean the,
perpetrators.
The perpetrators. Well, all right. Have you stopped coughing yet, Troy? Can you come back in, TJ?
Yeah, sorry. I've got allergies and stuff down here.
Are you allergic to my voice?
No. Down here in Texas, you get plants that flower in the wintertime.
Oh. Uh-huh. So you, have you tried honey? Use local honey?
Yeah, but my sister keeps getting the store brand.
Well, sort her out. Tell her to bring some local. Or grow some bees.
Yeah. On my luck, they'd sting me.
Oh. And then you'd have an apoplectic shock. Apoplectic shock. Anaphylactic. Apoplectic. Prophylactic. Having a prophylactic shock. That's more like it. Anyway. Meanwhile, it's all about bringing ourselves to the center. And to our heart. And... because the whole problem with the whole mind control thing is to bring you in, you know, we're shocked out of our hearts into our heads. And then, you know, we're painted in, we're locked in, we're boarded in into the left part of our brain until we no longer recognize anything that we feel. So by growing the star, you get to the... recognize your feelings, and by breathing. Oh, another one. All right. So as well as while you're doing this, breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth.
Nose blocked up.
Even if your nose is blocked up, there'll be a little bit for it to come through. Just do it really slowly. And, you know, it'll.
Down the back of the throat. That's why I cough it
up. Yeah. Yeah, I know that. So. By bringing oxygen into your brain, you can help to deprogram it. Because it all comes from hypoxia. You know, hypoxia, they say, oh yeah, when you're dying, you have all these hallucinations because you've got no, you've stopped breathing, so you don't get any blood to the brain and you don't get oxygen in your brain. You get hypoxia, which then, gives you hallucinations. That's what they say.
Wow.
So, what happens if we stop breathing when we're children? How many people do you know breathe properly? Put your hands up.
I know I don't. I have to work very hard at it in order to get it right.
Exactly. That's why we need to meditate, because what meditation is really is an excuse to sit there breathing properly. And, you know, and what I say is, you know, you're either thinking or you're breathing.
Uh-huh.
Think about that for a second. You're either thinking or you're breathing.
I am. Usually, if you're in that meditative state, you're not really thinking. You're actually bringing down the brain waves, so you're actually getting it to calm down.
Exactly. So you're not actually thinking,
no,
and you're experiencing, you're feeling, you're perceiving, but you're not stuck in that thinky part, in that little roundabout in your head. TJ?
Yeah.
Are you getting a glip? Are you getting a wave of glip
I don't know. I'm getting something.
Well, look, let's work on it in the next few minutes.
Yeah.
Don't go away. Skibbidi-bidim, skibbidi-bom, dibbidi-bom. Am I still here? Are we all still here? TJ.
Kinda.
Sound off. Wendy.
I am still here.
Good, good. So there we go. Here we are. I hope you've all refreshed your teas, your coffees. I've run out of coffee. I'm going to have to order some in. Welcome back. It's the 5th of December in 2016. Who'd have thought? Here we are. You remember we were wondering about 2012 and how it was all going to change and everything. And here, this year feels a lot more 2012-ish than the 2012 that we had 4 years ago, don't you think?
Yeah.
I would say yes, because I didn't know until very, very late, almost in 2012, there was some sort of world decision that we had to make. And I think due to the fact that we made it, thank God for not going forward on the other stuff that may have happened. So yes, this is the 2012 that I was looking for.
What do you think, TJ?
I think the calendars might be out of sync, more or less.
Well, you know, when you talk about out of sync calendars, and you probably researched this, but Velikovsky tried to find out the difference in calendars between the Jewish calendar and the Egyptian calendar. Because when you resolve the ages in chaos after the planetary collision, when you resolve it, then the stories that are depicted in the Bible and the stories that are depicted in Egyptian history seem to match up a lot better.
That's possible. A lot of the different calendars fix the different days in different ways. Like we used the 365-day calendar, and the Jewish calendar is the lunar calendar, so that's basically 360 days. They fix that by every third year. They have an extra month or so.
Adar Sheni.
Adar.
Yeah, I
think
so.
Second Adar.
Yeah. And so you got the, this kind of weird kind of cross-stepping solar lunar calendar. We need a solar calendar to keep up with the seasons, but it's much easier to count by the moon because each quarter is 7 days and it all fits in quite nicely. Well, according to Velikovsky, there used to be 368 days, and that's why it was a golden age, when the moon and the sun were in synchronization with each other. And then, according to Velikovsky, 800 BC, which was about the founding of Rome, Mars, having collided with Venus, comes whizzing by, basically pulls our planet 5 more days out in the solar system on its way past.
Not too sure on that.
Yeah, well, this is the story. But there's this, one of the things he said is that there were these enormous thunderbolts that went between the two planets because of the electrical potentials. And the marks of that are still on the surface of the planet. And one of them is a lake in Italy that before 800 BC used to be a town. And the whole town was, you know, this lightning bolt, you know, took out a big crater that was the size of the town. So it basically eliminated a whole town and is now a lake. And people say it's a volcanic lake, but there's no volcanic activity around there. So this is one of the Velikovsky's evidence that there was some kind of planetary collision.
Yeah, I'm not too sure on that.
So, well, I mean, the thing that fascinated me was the whole story of what he says it came from Jupiter. I may, you know, maybe it was from the asteroid belt, but that Venus came in from the outer solar system and passed by our planet very closely, and that was the moment of the Exodus of, you know, of Moses and the 10 plagues and all of that stuff.
And I don't know. I've heard of everything from just a big ass windstorm to Santorini blowing up that time, and heard of a collision down in Madagascar area.
Exactly. Now, the time period he talks about is 3,500 years ago. And in 2004, I traveled to Cyprus. And there's this thing on the beach called the Rock of Aphrodite. And it's a great big lump of rock, and it looks like, you know, it's just like a pillar of rock that, you know, like all the other bits of cliff face that are there. And it's been worn away at the bottom from the sea. So it's kind of teetery. It's like a sort of mushroomy shaped rock called Rock of Aphrodite. And they say that that rock arrived 3,500 years ago. And they say that Santorini exploded 3,500 years ago. Now, both of those could be the result of planetary collisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both could be the result of it. The lifting of the Indian Ocean, which would drain the Red Sea. Yeah, I don't agree with Sean on this, the whole Reed Sea thing. I think it was the actual Red Sea that we have. There is a land bridge between,
there is one section of the Red Sea though that is basically less deep than the rest of
the land bridge. And you can see it on Google Earth. You know, very clearly you can see that there's like, it's, if the water level was lower, that would be land.
Like a sandbar.
Yeah. And now I don't remember the name of the guy. He was one of these, strangely enough, I've come across a lot of Christians in my life and Christian warriors and anthropologists and stuff like that. And one of them was, you know, I didn't meet him, but, I can't remember his name though. God, begins with a W, like Wayne or something. Anyway, he has done lots of research and has gone over to the Saudi Arabia, and a place called Medina. And, in Medina, there is a rock, a great big tall standing rock that is split right down the middle. And they say that this is the rock that Moses split. And apparently Moses used to live in that area, so he knew all the bits when he got there. And that's the area that he hit the rock, and the rock, broke and a spring started. So perhaps it was, he knew about the pressure point there or something like that.
Well, there's a lot of people that disagree on where Mount Sinai is, but most of them agree that it's somewhere in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I said, there's this whole area called Medina, which has got loads of places that match the biblical descriptions. You know, the Genesis. See, here's my opinion on what the Bible is. And it's probably similar to yours as well, TJ. Is that, alright, so if we did have a planetary collision, and if we did have to, or these people had to leave, very quickly, they couldn't bring all of their old books with them. They had to just go with what they had and then retell and redraw the stories.
Yeah, basically, but, I think if you're telling it verbal and stuff like that, even 100 years, we have a hard time even imagining 100 years if you can imagine 4,000 or 10,000 years ago. They might have compressed the times a little bit while they were doing the verbal.
Oh yeah, you know, because people say, and then what happened? And what happened next? And then it came to pass, You know, and it came to pass, can cover like 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, couldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you can, it's, and people get too linear about this. And if you read, sorry?
There's some people that think the earth is actually only 6,000 years old.
Oh, God. All right. So, yeah, but how do we break it to them?
Well, the Bible says there was something here before. Even Jesus said a day could be 1,000 years.
Exactly.
Well, because God's outside of our timeline, so.
Well, you know, I was talking with Alex Collier the other day, and as far as the Andromedans are concerned, we sleep 36 times in one of their days.
Yeah.
We're like a little cat. I mean, smaller than a cat, you know. Cats, you know, they're sleeping about 3 times a day. But just think about it. You know, 33 days is one of their days. So what's that? 10? How many times does that go into 365 or 360? 33 days. Anyway, thereabouts. You can figure it out. It's like no more than 100 days in one of our years. No. No more than 10 days. Isn't it? Something like 10 days.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
One of our years. And one of their years might be a lot longer. They may not have 360 days in one of their years. I'm going to have to ask them. You know, because it's all about the orbits and rotation speeds and how they harmonize and how they, is it a universal thing? Yeah. Do planets,
I don't think it's a universal thing for, if they could sleep at a lesser pace, they could take, a lesser time to sleep and we're sleeping more. And plus two, our genetics is not the same as theirs. So therefore, that might be a bigger difference than beyond just where they are located.
So, you know, if a deity or a large ET came living here, they would probably be awake for a month and asleep for a month. You know what I'm saying? Well, or awake for 3 weeks and asleep for a week.
Well, like before the flood, for some reason, they were living almost 1,000 years.
Hmm. Certainly.
But then again, I was thinking that not even just only sleep, the way how they don't eat meat. They eat more so vegetables, and everything is done on a higher level. Their system is built differently than way how our system is built in terms of longevity and the mechanics and things of that nature. I'm not saying that they're a robot. I'm saying in terms of the way how they're structured within. So our structure is different based upon where we are. We rotate slower in the solar system, but we do more on the planet. So it's how there's just two different systems. They're built different. So it's like an egg and an orange, two different things.
Here's
two different way to look and made up.
TJ?
But if it was a level playing field for where we all either came out looking the same way or at least having the same capabilities as each other in terms of system being built and the longevity, then there's no comparison.
So what do we do about the gods? Look, the problem is that there's going to be a whole bunch of ETs on this planet before long. And we're going to have to figure out how to live with them. That's really the bottom line of it all. And that's what disclosure has to be about. Because these people might have, you know, for instance, they may have, say they live, one of our years is 10 of their days, right? Mm-hmm. So 1 year is 30 of our years. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So start to think then therefore in terms of time scale of their time. Now, I was talking to Tolek.
All right. But wait a minute. What about there's a certain part of our organ that used to work that no longer works is our appendix. Our appendix, from what I understand, and I don't remember who gave the information of what it does, but it used to be a part of regenerating the body. It used to be able to slow down the mechanics of what was going on in our body, and we were able to use it to keep the system revitalized. That system no longer works. Our appendix, you get it out of you if it erupts or if it's any way infected or whatever. So that's been totally shut down.
It's the same as junk DNA. Yeah.
So does that mean when the DNA gets turned on, does that revitalize itself? I mean, I don't know. I'm just asking the question, but I'm saying.
Well, here's the thing.
Yes,
the thing that we need that we don't do, that has been shut down out of us, is the ability to produce vitamin C. You know, like we get vitamin D from the sun, we're also able to produce vitamin C spontaneously, and that keeps us healthy. And that's what stops
us. Maybe that's what that organ was.
Yes.
Maybe that's what that was.
You could probably be right that it would feed vitamin C. I don't know. There might be some biologists who see an appendix in another creature and find out what it does. You know, call in if you know this stuff. You know, we're just guessing. I don't know. I'm a computer programmer. You know?
Yeah.
So.
But I know that organ used to be a major, major function, and now it's just dormant. Maybe it's something that will. Or maybe part of the DNA system that we have to have a certain amount of strands connected to have it reboot back on.
Well, you know, that's what I'm working on.
Maybe it might need at least four strands, or maybe 3.5 it might take in order for that to switch back on.
And
if we all are working together in terms of the fact that we meet those who are not all meat eaters willing to eat us and capture us and just only eat us, and we're able to at least go beyond that, we got to figure out a way for how they can have their food and we can have our food, and we don't always have to look like a buffet for them. Now, I don't like that idea too much.
No. Especially being served on top of pizza. Alien Girl in the chat room is saying, I agree, they're already here. Children are being born without appendices and tonsils now. It's been removed so much the body mutated. ETs have a more simplified... ETs have a more simplified internal system. Yeah, well, there are, some of them are chlorophyll-based, The little grey PLFs, they're chlorophyll. You just sit them in some ultraviolet light. Sit them on a grow lamp. that's the other thing that they, now who was it? It was, my CIA contact. When he was growing up, he had an ET living in his house. Cause, you know the TV series American Dad?
Yeah, I've seen it a couple times.
It's the one where they've got, he's a CIA agent, right? And they have an ET as a guest in their house who's called Roger.
Yeah.
And he's a complete bitch. He's like a gay bitchy ET. It's very funny. I think Stewie is really the same sort of character in the home. So, yep. Right, so this is the 12-12 ship. Okay, so I'm also getting messages from Debs. Come and give me. Okay, there's a breathing thing. How to clear your nose. So check this out. See if it works. Hang on. Okay, take a deep breath through your mouth, pinch your nose with the fingers, and walk around holding your breath as long as you can. Voila, you may have to repeat and then repeat periodically. We'll get up and go and see if I find the article. All right. So there you go. So this is the art of normalbreathing.com. Check this out. Well, I'll post the, brilliant. Thank you very much. Deb, that was, where are we?
Mm-hmm. I have to connect to my Linux box. I got too many windows open, too many browsers open.
So I'm just pasting that in the chat room now. So clearing your stuffy nose. Clearing your stuffy nose. Yeah. We are all just visitors here of our own device. You can check out any time you like, but you may never leave because of the frequency fence that's hanging around our planet. So, yeah. Meanwhile.
Yeah.
So there we go. That's how you... Vanessa, you're on fire tonight. Sniffing horseradish will open your sinuses you didn't even know you had.
Thank you, Vanessa.
So, Snork, here we are. So, where were we? We were colliding the planet.
We were talking about others coming up, other ETs are going to be coming on the planet, and we have to learn how to know to get along with them.
Yeah, exactly. We've been completely, we've been, again, brainwashed. It's the same thing as they did with the Jews in Germany. Propaganda has turned the Jews into they were demonized, okay? And people, I just want to say this, brothers and sisters in America, that has happened with Muslims.
But that's an old tactic that they're still running the same program.
Still works.
We have to be smarter.
It still works, doesn't it?
More aware.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we have to learn how to say the word no.
Yeah.
You know, I know they entice us with the fact that the structure of the money aspect and, you know, you can't get this if you don't have the money and blah, blah, blah. But look how many migrated and they didn't have the money. So we have to learn how to say no. You want it done? Go out there, go do it your own darn self. You know, you used to get in trouble when you talk to that way to your parents as kids, but that's usually the thinking you used to say in your head without thinking out loud and saying anything, you know. You want that done so badly? No, go do that yourself. And that's what we all have to go start saying. You want it done that badly? Do it yourself. Because you take the whole army to move things. You know, we have to disempower them. And if we disempower them, we empower ourselves. And that's what's going on.
So, we have to be in a place where we need to be always re-empowered. You know, it's like a mobile phone charge. You know, you get a bit of confidence and you talk to a few people and you think, oh, I can talk to anyone. And then eventually somebody will really bring you down and throw some doubt in your face. And it'll take a long time to build it up. But that you then come back stronger. And, I think it's always very good to be able to deal with challenges without being insane about it and shouting and screaming and. You're wrong. You're a bad person because you're wrong. You know.
And if you can get to see that, the way how they were used in, as a tool to have things done, they would think twice before they start blowing up stuff again. And if they realize that they've been used to better somebody else's plan and out of the plan that they were going to be hijacked or left to handle the consequences on their own, they may think twice before they start doing things again like that. But they have to know that they were being tricked. That's the whole thing. Do they know?
What is it they say? It's easier to brainwash a man than to tell him that he's been brainwashed? I can't remember that sound.
Ooh. That's a new one. I never heard that one.
I can't remember what
that one sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I posted the links to those books in the IRC chat room too.
Thanks very much, TJ. Maybe we could do a show on you could do a show on Book of Enoch. I spent a bit of time with some Mormons once, and they take all this stuff seriously. They take all the end times prophecies, and they have in their Bibles. Not only do they have their own scriptures from their own guys, these old guys with beards. And their journals, basically, a lot of their scripture is the journals of their original elders, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But they also take into account the Book of Jasher and all the apocryphal books, like the Book of Enoch and the Book of Jasher and all that business. It's very interesting. There aren't many religions that take account of the Gilgamesh, stories, though, are there?
Well, it depends on how you read into it from the Bible. I'm saying a lot of it does overlap. And there's places where they mention other stories. And they're not in the Jewish part, but they are in the Sumerians.
Keep going.
Yeah, I think Gilgamesh and Nimrod might have been the same person.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
So you were saying something about Nimrod earlier, weren't you?
Yeah, December 25th, Christmas Day, is actually the birth date of Nimrod.
Oh, hang on a second. I need to have a quick... Oh, that's better.
Oh, and that's not even the craziest thing I find.
Give us some more.
Well, I tracked down the real date of Christmas between one of 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Either November 7th, 7 BC by our calendar, or September 11th, 3 BC.
Hmm, I like the September thing. He sounds like a Virgo. But here's the thing. All right, that... Oh, God, my mic stand's just collapsed. Jeez. Oh, God. All right, okay, so it's laying on the... Stay there. I'm going to have to fix that later because I have to crawl behind the... behind my desk. That's pants. Oh, well, I was going to move it anyway, so... yeah, I'll just turn up the mic. There we go. Can you hear me now still? All right, so... the mic is just kind of resting on the desk. It's not really on the stand anymore. Where was I?
About September 11th.
Oh, yeah, dates. So were you listening last night? I had an insight about dates.
Well, I think maybe, but I'm saying the problem is, like I said, most of the other calendars for the different religions and stuff are different than the 365-day calendar.
Yeah.
So I'm saying in order for the Christian calendar and, like, the Muslim calendar to line up again, it takes so many years.
One wonders why one starts a new calendar, doesn't one? You know. So here's the thing, all right? At Christmas, the sun goes down to the south and stays in the south for 3 days, and then starts coming back up again. It starts that process on the 21st and ends on the 25th. Therefore, Christmas Day should be the day of resurrection. And Easter is all about, hear me out, Easter is all about birth and rebirth and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, why is that about the about the death and resurrection? Why shouldn't that be in winter, which is more about death, and Easter should be Christmas, and Christmas should be Easter?
Well, Easter actually is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. The holiday is Pesach in Greek, which comes from Pesach Hebrew, which means Passover.
So where did this bunny and birth come from?
From the Babylonian goddess Ishtar.
And when's her festival?
Well, it's basically when we celebrate Easter.
All right. So Pesach and Ishtar
are two different days. I'm saying it's basically Passover.
Yeah, it's the same. It's actually the same thing. Because, you know... I had to do the calculation once. Years and this is a crazy story. And you know how, like, you start out with one task and how it gets bigger, is that I was given the task of, oh God, what was it? It was to know when the daylight saving changes. Before computers did this automatically, back in the '80s, I had to write it. I actually had to write the algorithm that knew when the dates were changing. And when when the daylight saving time was changing. And so I got this, and this is long before Google, you know, we didn't have Google in those days, but we did have various libraries that we could call upon. And eventually I got somebody to find me the formula for calculating the date of Easter.
Yeah.
Which is huge. It's bloody huge.
Basically, the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox.
Yeah, I know, but you have to program this. So it's huge. It's a massive astronomical, literally an astronomical calculation. And in order to, and the reason is because it's the, in Britain, it's the first, no, It's the third, no, it's the day after, sorry, it's been a long time, it's in the 1980s this was. It was the day after the fourth Saturday in March. No, unless that day is Easter Sunday, in which case it's the next day, it's the next week. And I had to do this whole calculation. So I did this really, really deep thing about what is Easter and where it comes from. And you're right. Yeah, it's the first full moon after the spring equinox, because the spring equinox.
Sunday after that.
Hmm?
First Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox.
Yeah, but in the Jewish calendar, it's always on.
The Jewish calendar is, like I said,
I'm talking about Passover. Sorry. I'm talking about Passover, and then Easter is determined by the first Sunday after Passover. Which is what, you know, because the full moon itself, that's Passover. That's when we have it, on the full moon. But then it really should coincide. And sometimes, wasn't it on a Friday this year? The whole thing all coincided?
Passover is like 5 days, if I remember, right?
Mm.
I haven't been in synagogue in years.
Yeah, it's about a week, I think.
Yeah.
Just over a week. Right, yeah. So, dates and times. At least it's better than talking about pizza and pedophiles. Anyway, meanwhile, it's so long ago.
I think a lot of this stuff's connected.
Exactly, exactly. So,
and it goes back thousands of years.
So, Satanists then, since it is gonna, they use the lunar calendar, don't they?
A lot of them do. But I think that's probably more out of habit than anything else.
So, if people took more, more account of the lunar calendar, then, and rather than messing about with dates and numbers like September 11s and things like that, that we see that it's more to do with the phases of the moon than the numbers of the sun.
Right, possible. Well, like I said, most of the ancient calendars were lunar calendars.
Yeah, well, it makes much more sense.
And like I said, I'm saying this thing, stuff goes back at least 6,000 years I can track.
You mean almost to the beginning of the creation of the planet?
Well, at least according to what I can find, yeah. Go back to Sumeria, the God Kings. Because one thing I find out, most of the religions and stuff have in common, they believe that gods or angels and humans crossbred. They believe that there was giants, and they believe in that there was a big flood. I'm saying when they agree on those things, I'm saying there's something to it.
Oh, absolutely. But also we have the legends of Atlantis and the ending of Atlantis and the wars and all of that stuff.
I think a lot of that has to do with the flood, but I think the flood, what most people do to calculations personally, and this is my personal belief, is I believe the flood, like in the Bible, is off in the counting, because like I said, they did a lot of that stuff verbally. And like I said, it's even hard for us to imagine 100 years compared to 11,000 years. And if you do it around 11,000 years ago, that would put it in the time period of Atlantis and a lot of other flood myths, and they all around about 11,000 years ago at the end of the last ice age.
Yeah. There's a lot that matches up.
I think a lot of what Atlantis was probably what was it now the east coast of America.
Mm-hmm.
And basically at the end of the last ice age, the water levels rose 400 feet almost overnight. So a lot of that's under 400 feet of water now was dry land.
Do you know what? I have another theory, and it goes against the theory that they say that that where all that water came from.
Ice cap.
No. it was in the solar system.
Well, Graham Hancock believes that some kind of comet or a meteorite hit the ice cap that was over North America at the time, and it basically vaporized all that ice, and then you get that turned into steam. It's going to come back down as water.
Mm-hmm. But what if there was a whole bunch of water just hanging out in the solar system, and we just went splat into it?
That's possible too. I'm saying the Bible points towards that too.
Because, well,
the water's from the heavens and the water's from the firmament.
Yeah. Ah, right. Yeah, the firmament. Oh, yes, the firmament. The planetary shield.
Well, the ancient Babylonians, and to a lesser extent the Jews, also believed that we were basically inside a globe inside of a globe, and the hard stuff up the top there separated us from whatever, heaven or whatever, I don't know. But they believed it was a hard covering, and the water come down from there, and it also come up from inside the earth too, like a geyser.
According to outer stresses. So here's the thing. I believe that the water that came here came from the planet Maldek. As does frogs and fishes that fall from the sky. That they all are basically fragments of a highly fragmented planet that was destroyed many millions of years ago and is now the asteroid belt. Some people call it Tiamat.
Yeah, well...
Some people say the Earth is called Tiamat as well.
Well, some of the guys I've read, like Sitchin, said that basically that Tiamat split in half and half of it became our moon.
Hmm. And some people say that Tiamat split in half and half of it became our Earth.
Well, from what I understand, it was the half... came the moon, and then the other half became the asteroid belt.
Right. Well, I'd say, you know, the asteroid belt, yes. Our moon, I believe, came from somewhere else. It was an asteroid that... Well, actually, the Chinese say that they came here in it.
Yeah.
And that it is a hollow thing. It's a spaceship, and it's been parked here.
Yeah, that moon was driven in.
What intel do you have, Wendy?
The moon was driven in. It's a construct. It has gears that go forward and back and whatever, but it's definitely a construct that was driven in this part of the galaxy.
Well, I know when they crashed the lunar modules after they get done with it, when we went to the moon, they said the moon rang like a bell for like 5 minutes.
That's right.
And it still does. Even all now, when it gets closer to the Earth, it rings.
So, it's a big bong. The moon is a bong.
Bong. Ding.
Hang on. Let me just see what happens when you hit the bong. Yeah, see, the moon is a big bong, like that, big round bong. No, I mean, if you look at it, it looks like a football. It looks like it's been stitched, you know, or welded or riveted in plates, in ribs. Yeah, it looks like a construct with a very deep, dusty crust. Apparently, it's titanium. Is that grey dust? It's very difficult. Dust. Not our friendly silicon dioxide. Anyway, yes, fishes and stuff that fall from the sky, the Fortean events, I believe all point to lumps of sea that were splattered out and then froze and have been in deep freeze in a vacuum for hundreds of millions of years, and then eventually come and fall as... Because you know what they say, a comet is a dirty snowball. Oh, it's a dirty snowball. It's just like, you know,
what if what they're talking about is a piece of rock and some water that came from a planet that was destroyed? Isn't that a better description of what a comet is? Comments? Cometary comments?
I don't know.
You know, let's...
Well, they always said a comet was... And, well, they, you know, truth and what's not truth is the thing. But a comet has always been known as part of a type of an asteroid.
Well, it's broken up and
yeah. And just got beaten up, and then it got down to like almost like a smaller pebble. And by the time it got to us, it was just like a little rock that just came through because our Earth helped to pull it in gravitationally. And it came to Earth. That's all I hear about it. I don't know if it's more than that.
Well, if you imagine, right, you blow up a planet made of water that's mostly covered in water, right? And there's fragments that go everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, the solar system will settle down. But those fragments are like, yes, they're asteroids. They're lumps of rock. But there's water there. Because it was a living planet.
Mm-hmm.
And the water that was there will remain frozen with whatever life is in it.
True.
And so this can, you know, this can go on a long time. This stuff that is falling. And so this is also what they call space water. You know, liquid water in space somehow.
Okay, I can agree with that because there are so many things that made up this Earth, and then Lyra gave her a take on what was happening to bring this Earth together. It had to do with constructs of different parts coming from here and there in order for this Earth to come together to make it look the way it does. So I think all those things are possible due to the fact that they're very skillful beings within the galaxy who know how to do things. Yeah. I'll agree with that. You there?
Yeah, we're here. I'm seeing if TJ wants to say anything.
Not really, because I'm saying I'm not that. If I don't know something, I'll say I don't know.
You know,
yeah.
I'm saying that I'm giving the benefit of the doubt based upon what, you know, someone said because of the fact that we didn't really have another definition of how this Earth was put together, because the definition that was put together in the workbook or in the textbooks of growing up from school didn't have the same definition that somebody else gave when you did that interview with them, JP. It was totally different. And I was like, okay, but to me, what she was saying down just from what she was saying of not really hypothetically having the information, I could believe of what she's saying because this universe is made up of so many beautiful beings that know things, how to do things. I'm saying, hey, it's got to be something else more going on than what I know.
So, Pleiadian sisters saying, TJ, how was Earth created? Our local creator God.
The Bible says who, not how.
See, the thing is, it's like, what does create mean? You know, I create a website. That's good. Right. But in order for me to do that, I have to have an internet. I have to have servers. I have to have RS-232 jack cables. You know, I have to have all that stuff to create something. So is there somewhere, you know, equivalent on the higher planes where you can... planetary templates. Let's have M-class. Here we go. Let's have some green, you know. Get somebody like a web designer to design a planet. Like Slotty Bartfast.
I think that would be one of the best questions to ask when we start mixing the beings that know stuff.
You know?
This is part of the truth that needs to be, that really needs to come out fully. That was hidden away. Just besides knowing what your gifts and your talents are, I think some of this awakening with the DNA will give us back some of those memories of who and what we really, really were about. Just besides doing a massage and singing music and knowing how to write music and play music. There's more to us than just what we are visually seeing with our eyes and psychically knowing of ourselves. There's much more. And I think these strands, when they start to really come to full fruition and awakening within the systems of the body, we would know. We would know a lot more than what we are talking about here. Things will be revealed. And I'm excited to find out, as they would say, the true story.
Well, you know, I'd really like to invite everybody to allow this whole world to expand and, you know, like we have been campaigning and fighting. We don't want this and we don't want that and we don't want this and we don't want that, and spending a lot of energy saying that. And it's really now coming up to the time where it's all right. Okay. So if you don't want all that, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the main point. This is the main point of where we're at. We either choose what we don't want or we get caught up in all these gates. You know, Podesta Gate, Pizza Gate, Chili Gate, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's all designed to keep us in a lower mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Without forgiveness. So, mm-hmm. and, you know, and Standing Rock and all of these other things that are very, very stressful. It's all designed to keep us out of our spirit, because at this moment, we could be birthing something great. I would like everybody, I would invite everybody also to take part in the litanies. You can go to Wolf Spirit Radio's meditation archive. That's off the main page down in the public archives, and download a zip file. And there's a text that tells you when. And I've also made little meditations that go with each one. I think the second one should be tonight. Let me just check my...
With Wolf Spirit, what? Wolf Spirit.
You go to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And in Wolf Spirit Radio, we have the main site, so wolfspiritradio.com, mm-hmm. and it'll come to Joomla. On the top right is public downloads or something like that. Hang on. I need to just... I can't remember the actual wording. Let me just get that.
Okay.
Can you remember, TJ?
Not up, man.
Yeah.
Like I said, you need to redo everything there.
Well, I have a plan. It's a cunning plan. Yeah, in public archives, Meditation DL, you can download a zip file called Litanies, and in it, let me just open that up. Yes. Is it in there? Yeah, there you go. I'll just paste that into the chat room. In that folder, there's a lot of error messages that I was hoping TJ was going to fix.
I don't have access to that part.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll give you a copy and see if you can fix it. So anyway, download the folder called Litanies, and in that folder, you'll find, let's see, oh, somebody's having good fun there. Where is it? Right, there's... I think it's a PDF or a doc file. I think it's a PDF.
Okay.
Yeah, PDF. Which, of course, I can't read now, because I can't read PDFs on this. I've just installed a new system. And you know how it is, TJ. You know how it is. You install these systems every three, 6 months, and you forget to do the stupid, simple stuff like PDF reader. Anyway,
Google Chrome should be able to read it.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's see if I can open it with Chrome. Yeah. Open it with Chrome. Yeah, I've got it done. No, it won't do it. But anyway, there we go. That's what we got. Let's see. Maybe. So the litanies are an invitation to the birth of the Christ in your heart, and you kind of make space for it by, you know, letting go of all your achievements and all of your ego and all the puffy stuff, and putting yourself in the right position and understanding and allowing the birth of a plasma child in your heart, essentially. It's the same with the star meditation, really, in another form. And the symbolism is to bring your soul star, into your heart. And, you know, that's like, it's like having a free energy motor running. Keeps you running. Keeps you going.
Okay. I will definitely check that out. But when is, you said it starts from tonight, when you do that?
Well, actually, it doesn't matter because on the higher levels, you know, your higher dimensional selves are already doing it. Everybody who's a student is already doing it. You know, and I'm presuming that everybody who's listening to this show is a student, you know. That's what we're all here for. It's there. And, oh yeah, you're very right. It does. Thank you very much. I never knew that. Anyway. So the first is the first ray. Now this obviously is now the fifth, so we've started into it, but I always forget it until the last minute this year. But this year I actually managed to do it on the first. And, you know, just for a little taster, this is what was said on the first, is, I desire birth. I am ready to be burned and consumed, for that is what birth is. I am ready to be naked and unprotected, and to suffer from my nakedness, for that is what life is. I am ready to make the pilgrimage through matter, in darkness and in fire, so that the circle of the uncreate shall become one with the circle of the create. So that's the first ray. That's the will and intent energy, of expressing the desire to be born. So that's the idea, desiring to be born in, you know, the self-born idea. You see? And then the next one, and this is tonight's one, which is done at midnight, usually. I am nothing save as a fragment to be burned and consumed. I alone am as nothing. Okay, so it then puts you in the total perspective analyzer, you know, compared with the whole of the universe, we're nothing, you know, a fragment to be burned and consumed. As far as your soul is concerned, you're a fragment to be burned and consumed. It doesn't really have that much compassion toward you. If necessary, you know. So yeah, the next one is, on the 7th, for the third ray, and the 11th for the fourth ray, the 15th for the fifth ray, 21st for the sixth ray, and finally the 25th, the seventh ray. Where is the simple, it gets complicated in the middle, but then it comes back to, I desire absolute love. That's the one for the 25th. And absolute love is love from within. You know, you're basically emptying out your ego to allow your soul to come into your body.
Oh, that's what it's representing. Okay, yeah. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Christ child is your soul. You know, it's nobody else but your soul. Hello there, 724. What's your name and where are you?
Oh. Hi, my name's Carol.
Irene, I'll tell you what you are. You're too late. Thank you very much, everybody. It's been another journey with JP. 5th of December. Don't forget, this was the day it all happened. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, JP. Thank you, everybody.
Good night. Thank you, TJ. Thank you, MD. Thank you, Irene. Dippy-dippy-dippy-dippy-doo. Have another bowl.